Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up! Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut,
sake!
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. We're back finally. It's been a minute. We've been off as the Tribune Tower moved to its new location. The Tribune Tower. The inhabitants of Tribune Tower is what
yes.
I meant.
We are now separated. We are in different buildings.
We did. The family is all broken up. So
cleaved apart.
Chicago Tribune and WGN Radio, we were in the same building. No longer. That's beautiful, iconic Gothic architecture of Tribune Tower. If you do not live in Chicago, please Google it. It's a very beautiful building. But it is going condo. And so WGN Radio moved across the river, as did Chicago Tribune. And listeners say they were really sick of us talking about that on the air.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
But like, we've been there for decades.
Yeah, it's kind of our thing.
So. It's kind of our thing.
Give us a little time to grieve, for God's sake.
Give us a minute. I mean, Chicago Tribune was almost there 100 years.
Yeah, right.
Like, just shy of it. So
that's why it's called the Tribune Tower.
Not the condo tower.
Yes, exactly.
But then you, like a chump, went on vacation.
I just got the hell out of town. I did. It was selfish and
what is that like, to go on vacation?
It was good, I have to tell you. I went to Montana.
It's very beautiful there.
It is. There's
I've been to that magical land. So was there a lot of internet access, and did you see all the things that you missed?
I unplugged. We had full internet access, actually.
You just chose to ignore it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I checked my emails a bit just to, you know, so that I didn't have 18 million when I got back, but I did not. I was off Twitter for, I think, like 10 days.
It was a much weirder and quieter place.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean,
And it's nothing like being off Twitter and realizing that basically nobody misses you. Like, there was not like, hey, is Rex Hupke okay? Like, where is he? No.
Well, you know what? I have a habit of when crazy stuff happens, I usually go see what your tweet is.
Oh, okay.
And I went and looked, and it was like, you know, you hear, I mean, I've done this, right? My grandfather died in February, and there's the thing, like, I almost picked up the phone to call him.
Right, yeah.
It was that for Twitter and you.
You picked up the phone to tweet me.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, he's not here.
He's out chasing buffalo. Bison, excuse me.
Yeah. I'd like to start with saying, with a big old hell yeah for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the 28-year-old Latina running her first campaign, who ousted 10-term incumbent Joe Crowley, old white guy.
Yeah.
In New York's 14th congressional district. That was spectacular.
There was
the video clip of her face when she realizes it's happened is so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. And she's very expressive. And there was a brilliant side-by-side where they had a photo of her. I forget. It was like, you know, a year ago, working at a job as a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the photo of her, like what you're talking about, when she won. And just that amazing transformation.
Good for her.
Yeah, no, I know. And I mean, a pretty outspoken, generally socialist type person.
I don't know that she's generally socialist.
Yeah.
I think she's
full-blown socialist.
She's member of DSA and represents the ideals of the organization and has some, you know, marvelous things to say about the state of things and how she plans to fix it and it's less I will fix and more we must, which is a great message.
Yeah.
I'm picking up what she's putting down. I'm thrilled about this. I think it's great.
Yeah. And I loved Donald Trump sending a tweet mocking the old white dude who lost, saying like he lost because he didn't support Trump enough. When in fact he was beaten by someone running very far to his left. So it was kind of like, I think you're not smart and don't understand politics and are incurious about literally everything.
And also, speaking of fake news, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was just a ridiculous tweet. And the fact that that's no longer even remotely embarrassing or whatever.
Right. We're so beyond his tweets being accurate.
Like,
they're so stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's awesome. I cannot wait to see all the things that she does. I have great hope for her political future.
Yeah, I do, too. Assuming there is some form of future, which I'm at the moment questioning. But they
Why? Because we're going to just fall into a sinkhole of...
Well, yeah, the Kennedy retirement from the Supreme Court is a complete epic disaster of which I just don't know how we... I don't know what we do. Despondent.
I was going to say, you're almost a dead.
Yeah, desolate, dead. I don't know what I was looking for, but despondent is the right term.
Well, it's concerning because it certainly has the ability to impact at least a generation of political climate with extremely far right rulings. Why is it every studio we go to, this chair, it must be the same chair, just came over from the old studio. It's the Hupke chair that keeps falling to the ground.
And we're in this new studio that is so, like, we're in a box, basically.
It is basically a phone booth. We used to be in a, like, have a large table between us. Yeah. Now we're in slapping distance.
We are. Yeah, this could get ugly. As I said before, also, we need to make sure we have breath mints available.
I think that's a hint to me, is what you're saying.
No.
Anyway, Kennedy.
Sorry.
Supreme Court. Focus.
It's a little hot in here, too, to be honest with
you. Oh, my God.
I need a fan or something. It's not
Did
properly
you need,
ventilated.
LaCroix chill to a certain temperature?
I've got to be honest. I'm used to finer things, and this little box we're in is not working for me. But, yeah. So Kennedy's, and now we get ready for just the ultimate in-your-face hypocrisy by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans, who would not fill a Supreme Court seat prior to an election under Barack Obama, and now have already come out and said, yep, we're going to fill it. And I honestly don't know. I haven't done enough reading because it's just happened this morning, but I don't know how much Democrats can do to block this. Even if they all oppose it, I don't know that they can stop it.
No, not at all.
And yeah, I mean, this is, by Roe v. Wade, it's over. That's going to be gone immediately once they seat a new Supreme Court that has, six conservatives and four generally liberal justices.
So my regular package of Amazon delivery of vitamins to RBG, I'm going to have to step that up a little bit. But
it's
even
not
going to
matter.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I mean, she could go too. I mean, if once you're at 6-4, forget it. It's over. I mean, that's gone. Yeah. You're going to see, gay marriage could be in jeopardy easily, or at least be restricted. Forget it. I mean, forget gun control. Good Lord. I mean, it's a mess. I mean, and this is the worst case scenario, and yet also an incredibly predictable scenario that the people that sat this election out obviously did not even consider paying attention to. And it sucks. And this is, this could impact way more than this is going to last a long time, because they're going to put young justices in there, like Gorsuch. I don't remember how old Gorsuch is, but he's not that old.
He's not 80. No, he's, right. I think, isn't he 50 something?
Yeah.
Like 53,
I think. I mean, those justices seem to live a long time. So not that I wish anything bad on him. But, the point is it's cementing a conservative court in a way that will allow them to, they could gerrymander things at will and make it impossible for Democrats, or at least extremely hard for Democrats in all manner of elections. This is a catastrophic development. And for anybody who cares about anything, not even just progressive, but just sort of general fairness, I think. I mean,
we're way past fairness.
Yeah, I mean, this is taking us back just so far in terms of...
I mean, we're even past describing, using words like Republican. We're talking about a fascist regime that is beyond anything we've seen from Republicans in a long time.
Yeah, and it was... I mean, it's exactly what they wanted, and it's sickening to me. I mean, this is... this is what they've been willing to tolerate Trump and all the multitude of ways that he goes against their alleged religious beliefs and their alleged convictions and morals to get at this and to shape the country in a manner that is appealing to rich old white men.
I was going to say, congratulations to you and your brethren, because now seems like a time to be a straight white guy.
Yes.
So there's that.
I'm coming out on top, baby. Let me tell you. But
you're getting the best of this deal.
But it's amazing. I mean, I'm absolutely flabbergasted by how completely turned on its head this country can become in such a short period of time under this guy.
I'm concerned, but I'm not surprised anymore. I'm not shocked. I mean, but also I think I'm coming at it from, well, we saw how this has played out before with genocide still in my DNA and all.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Sure. Right.
Like this is not that.
Yeah. If you look at it in that historical context, then sure. Yeah,
which I think I can't help but to do.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
so I'm like, not surprised. We've just learned nothing. That's the part that's disappointing. Like we've learned literally nothing in all this time. Speaking of the Supreme Court and Trump, there's so much news today. You came back at such a right time. The Supreme Court upheld Trump's travel ban with a 5-4 vote. Wrote in its opinion that the order is, quote, squarely within the scope of presidential authority. Concerning. I think it's already all the interpretations of the ruling have already started to kind of swirl around, and all the, you know, Twitter pundits are going nuts with that. But Jeff Sessions' comment, I thought his... Did you read that? He said something of the ruling. He said it was, quote, critical to ensuring the continued authority of President Trump and all future presidents to protect the American people. The word authority bothers me very much. I know it's technically accurate, but the way he uses it is in such a obey leader kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I read. Well, actually, my wife read to me as we were driving back.
Sure.
From an otherwise peaceful vacation.
Let's return from the countryside and get your blood pressure all back up where it was.
Yeah, the ruling. And I don't necessarily, I mean, in terms of the presidential authority to do this, I don't necessarily know. I mean, I can't speak to this on any kind of legal expert level, obviously. But I mean, to me, the ruling on the authority aspect of this didn't seem completely unreasonable. But the unwillingness to take into account the motivation seemed just wildly irresponsible. And it seemed apparent that they kind of know.
They do. Well,
they know what he is.
So, Sonia Sotomayor wrote the dissenting opinion, and it was very clearly laid out in there. Like, this is what this is about. This is about an anti-Muslim sentiment.
Exactly.
This is what's going on here. Let's be clear. So there's that.
Yeah, I have a column that's going to come out tomorrow morning online. It got delayed because of another thing that popped up.
Some other crisis.
But and I'm saying that we are Muslims aren't welcome here. And for anybody to say the thing that frustrated me, I guess, was after that ruling.
God help the person who just tuned into the podcast like at that point
exactly.
there. It was like, Jesus Christ, Hupke.
I just got picked up by Fox News.
Oh, God.
I have a very...
Goof out.
Yeah, right. So that ruling came down and everybody was on Twitter. This is not who we are. This is not who we are. And I myself have said and tweeted that in the past as things have happened under the Trump administration. But it just dawned on me, like... No, that is absolute bullshit. That is exactly who we are right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not who I am. It's not who you are. It's not who many people are as individuals. But as a country, right now,
if you're
a Muslim overseas, you're not welcome here, period. If you're a Mexican or if you're a South American or Central American person trying to come here seeking asylum or what have you, you're not welcome here. And, in fact, we're so damn mean, we'll split you apart from your family just to be dicks about it. So I think the time for saying this isn't who we are, I think that's a cop-out at this point. That's a way to make us feel better somehow about ourselves. And the only thing that matters, and this gets to something you talk about all the time, I think very eloquently, is do something.
Yeah.
You know, the tweeting, this is not who we are, isn't getting us anywhere. I don't care about
anybody's intention. I don't care. I just care what you do.
Yeah, right. Especially now. I mean, I wrote that column before the Supreme Court, before Kennedy announced his retirement. And my point was, get your ass out, register people to vote, do every damn thing you can that humanly possible to prove to people that this is not who we are. I meant it then. It's 10 times more serious now, because if there's any way to hold up a new Supreme Court justice and wait until the Congress is seated, which I don't know if that'll happen, but if there is any hope, it's going to be in us, meaning people, Democrats, progressives, taking control of the Senate back. So, yeah, I mean, it just, people have to stop pretending that this isn't who we are, because this is exactly who we are.
And we cannot pretend that saying this isn't who we are is like a fucking brave choice of a thing to do.
Right.
Not yeah. brave.
No.
Not useful. Literally nothing happened after your tweet.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
So don't do that. That's yeah. useless.
Yeah.
It's very useless.
And nobody around the world is like, oh, you know what? Amy tweeted that that's not who they are. So,
oh, but I follow an American on Twitter and she said, no, yeah. no.
I think I will try to come
Every
over there.
Every friend I have outside of the U.S. was like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, actually, it started on election night.
Sure.
Some friends who are journalists in another country were like, do you need a job
yeah.
to get out of Dodge? I was like, no, I'd rather stay here and work it out and help. But ask me again in a year, is yeah. what I said. You know, and of course, people that know us personally outside of the U.S. know that about us, but they're also like, what the hell are you doing, right? What's happening? What is this that's happening in your country? And I, you know, it's a long conversation to explain it, which brings me to, what is your opinion? You might have missed a little bit of this on Twitter, but there's a lot of conversation happening about civility right now.
I was hoping that's where you're going.
Yeah. What say you about that?
I'll say this. I have always been one to lean towards being mm-hmm. civil about things, mm-hmm. taking the higher road. And I am no longer sure about that, frankly. I think that we are in a position now where the other side doesn't give two fucks about civility when it's on their terms.
Right.
I mean, I have seen people in journalism, myself included, you, sure. others threatened. I have seen unconscionable bullying and bullshit from this president himself. And I don't know, man. I think...
And completely inhumane treatment of human beings and families. Why is the phone ringing in here? That should not be a thing.
We have a caller. it's the Justice Department shutting us down.
Shutting us down immediately.
I think that I'd never... And no, I don't think any... person who opposes, I shouldn't say that. I don't. Most rational people who oppose the Trump administration, when they say they're in favor of incivility, they are not talking about violence. I think that's sort of a caveat. I guess I want to make that caveat for whatever reason. Obviously, I think it's obvious. I don't think people should be violent about things.
Are you putting that caveat in just for like the eventual journalism war crimes that we're going to stand
yes,
for?
Yes, I absolutely yeah. am. I think that's an important, I do think it's an important distinction to make, because that's where the right immediately goes when you say you want people to be, you want civil disobedience and you want that sort of thing. They're like, well, the left is promoting violence. Well, bullshit, we're not promoting violence. Thank you. The president telling people to punch people during a rally is promoting violence. But, but I do think that people who support Trump, whether it's in his administration or wherever, should be embarrassed about that. I think that it should be socially unacceptable to embrace these kinds of things. And I'm fine with that. I think that's where we are. And I don't like it, really, but I don't know exactly what the choice is. And frankly, that's what they would be doing at this point.
Yeah.
And I think you have to kind of fight fire with fire at some point.
So... violence aside, let's just talk about civil disobedience. Where do you fall in that?
Well, it depends on what. That's a pretty broad area. I mean, marching, sit-ins, blocking businesses, you know. I don't know exactly. To me, especially for the Republicans, the key is money. It all comes down to money. And so I think that opposing any business that does not stand up against some of these things that are happening is a good start. I'm all for that. And I don't care if that means sitting outside of, you know, Amazon headquarters or wherever. Mm-hmm. I'm just naming names. I don't know who. Amazon hasn't done anything wrong necessarily, but, boycotting product, whatever. I mean, I don't really care, but I'm all for going after that thing. I think if you're going to be civilly disobedient, I think you should go about it in a reasonable way, you know? And there are certainly some things that people can do that will just be fodder for the right. And I don't know that that's smart. I wasn't the Sarah Sanders thing.
Right. That's where I'm going with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really torn. Honestly, I was torn on that. I mean, at first, my first reaction was, I think that's dumb. I thought about it a little more and then I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, because honestly, I find her to be as disreputable and awful a person.
She's a piece of crap.
Yeah. I mean, she's garbage, frankly.
And, she's calling us now.
Hi.
I don't know.
Sarah. Sarah, you're online,
too.
Go ahead.
Not supposed to ring in this room, and I don't know how to make it not do that.
I think it adds something to the whole experience.
There's not even a volume button on these newfangled fancy phones.
Guthin Upjohn Politics, may we help you? Oh, Mr. Soros, thank you for calling.
Jesus.
Yes. My paycheck didn't clear last week. Could you do something about that?
There are people that will not believe that's a joke.
But I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, does that really get us anywhere? It's not going to. I mean, Sarah Sanders probably loved that. You know, it makes her a martyr for her whatever her godforsaken cause is.
Christ's sakes, come on with the calls.
We've definitely been infiltrated.
We've definitely. I'm just going to answer it next time. Yeah. Although it might be on the air.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Patch us through.
We start swearing on my... Hi!
We answer alongside current host. That'll be great. Anyway, I...
where are you on this?
I mean, I'm kind of in all bets are off mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I'm leaning that way.
I really do not... You know, I think there's... Especially, right... In our profession, there's a lot of like conversation, early career conversation around how to be persistent in an interview with someone who doesn't want to talk to you, particularly like in a crowd. Like you're trying to catch someone who's walking, right? Mm-hmm. Getting a comment from them, being unassailably polite while being aggressive at them. And I think that's the mindset a lot of people have entered into. Like I think we've kind of gone because a lot of professional dealings kind of go that way too. Mm-hmm. Screw it. Like all of it. Like I've been calling for a defenestration for a long time. And I'm not saying anyone should go commit any illegal acts or anything. I am saying all bets are off.
Yeah.
When families are separated, when I, as have many, that keeps me awake at night. Imagining little children in cages is so horrible to me. And imagining fleeing a country because there are unspeakable dangers there in hope of a better life for your family, and then this bullshit happened. Like, you know what? If that's how we're going to play, by any means necessary, we have to fix this.
Right. Or making an entire religious group feel unwelcome, whether they're immigrants or whether they live in a foreign country or they live here.
Or a bunch of old white guys telling me what, having more control over my body than I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
And that's going to, what happens when that goes down? And at this point, I mean, barring a miracle, that's going down. Roe v. Wade's going down.
The streets will run with menstrual blood.
Yes, exactly.
What is that called where football players like put the black paint underneath their eyes that like glare?
Yeah, it's
I'm doing that with my own menstrual blood is what I'm telling you, Hupke.
You
I'm just going to wear it.
All right.
I'm going to save it all month so I can use it every day. I'm taking that picture.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to Instagram that.
I will be only mildly squeamish about that.
It's fine. It is power for the fight that is ahead. There will be menstrual blood and victories. They will not come easy, but they will happen. There will be victories. We will prevail.
Yeah, because I mean, it's coming. I don't know. Anyway, but I got sidetracked by a quote I was trying to remember. Now I can't remember.
About menstrual blood?
Yeah, we're kind of to that point, you know? I mean, and I don't like it. I mean, my default is kind of like, okay, let's try to hash this out reasonably.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because when I first started working on my documentary and first started doing the research around it, I very much had the no internet troll is going to break me stance, and your shit-ass behavior is not going to dictate my manners. And I think I inadvertently pushed that civility narrative in that way, like bemoaning the state of the internet, of how shitty everyone is on it. Mm-hmm. And in this setting, in a political setting, I realized, you know what, that it it doesn't work. And, you know, when you look at it through a political lens, you realize that doesn't work in any setting. It doesn't work. It doesn't calm trolls. It hasn't stopped trolls from doing anything to me. It hasn't stopped, you know, anything. It hasn't protected any human being. So, fuck it.
Yeah. And I think the trolls comparison is, I think, is a good one, because I feel like, and I've felt this way for a long time, I've been limited in my ability to do anything about it just because of Tribune,
sure,
you know, rules and lawyers and all that stuff. But for a long time,
I know I've Tribune frowns on saying "go fuck yourself"
yeah,
on Twitter.
Right, exactly. And I have thought that the only way to stop this is to make it socially unacceptable, and that means you get people's asses fired because they came at you online with a bunch of bullshit. You get people divorced because they find out what shit they've been saying to people online.
That's so funny. I was in that situation like a week ago, an interaction in which a total stranger like had his company in his Twitter bio.
Yeah.
So I just like got a screenshot and sent the company an email. I was like, don't know what you're going to do with this, but I thought you should know that your whatever VP of sales or whatever speaks to women this way on the internet.
Good. Yeah. I've had so many situations where I could have done something similar. I had one guy after me for ages, and I knew exactly who he was. I knew everything about him. I knew his wife had a very influential position in Chicago, and I held back because A, it was a pain in the ass to do anything about it. B, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, it's a decision between, do you screw up somebody's life and create a real enemy, or do you deal with some idiot if the person had been actually like actionable or violent in some way, then I wouldn't have thought twice about it. But it was just obviously somebody with a beef. There he is.
There's a piece of shit calling.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Somebody with a beef and just needed to vent. And I was like, okay, screw it. I'm going to just let it stand.
Well,
and
venting is different. When it crosses a line to threatening you.
Yeah, it never quite got
being
there.
Sexist or racist or xenophobic, then you know what? You have dug your own grave.
Yeah.
And I will throw you to the court of public opinion is what.
Yeah.
And you cannot hide. And I'm happy to share that with your employers and your whatever. Like, I don't have any sympathy for people like that. I don't.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, it sort of becomes like a case-by-case basis. But my broader point is that companies need to adopt zero-tolerance policies that basically say, if we find out you're being a fucking idiot online, you're fired, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's zero
agreed.
Tolerance for this. And there needs to be a hard line. And people need to start outing people who are not just people who are annoying you. I think that's not fair. The reason that this gets dodgy sometimes is like the whole idea of doxing someone, basically, where, you know, people don't want that to happen.
But it's different. But doxing, you know, that just is like when that's happened with me, it's been like, you're a loudmouth feminist and we want to stop you.
Right.
That's not, you have behaved in a way that is dangerous or threatening. It's my weak ass little punk ass bitch, fragile masculinity can't handle you.
Right. Yeah.
Every time something like that has been thrown at me in hopes of stopping me, it has always been in response to something. And here's the stupid part is that at the end of the day, you only make me more powerful because you've validated what I'm doing to make me go, oh, I'm doing shit right. Better do it louder, you dumbasses.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's wildly ineffective and stupid on top of that. But so, yeah, I think that would be. I mean, that's an example. And didn't you tell me, I'm sorry if I'm remembering this wrong, we were talking about something from your documentary, and was it Japan where trolling and that sort of thing is very taboo?
There's a few countries that that are where it's very, very taboo. A couple of them are Asian and South Asian countries where it's like, if you were to not say something, if you saw somebody being trolled, it would be this like, what's the matter with you? It would be like if you and I like walked by a child bleeding in the street. Like, what, you know?
See, we need that. That's what we need.
I think there is a lot of value in mocking these idiot people that take themselves very seriously at very high levels. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you look at how so many of them are regarded by their super fans, by their base, it is this like untouchable, he speaks truth to power. Oh, that's not really the language they use, but like he says it like it is, he's the guy, you know. Ruin that.
Yeah.
Right? We saw that so effectively working with the kids from Parkland High School.
Mm-hmm.
They were not here for, like, I am too busy to deal with your shit. Also, you pooped your pants. Gotta go. Like, that's how they were treating all of it. Like, when elected officials were coming at them, when adult professionals were coming at them with all kinds of bullshit, they were like, shut up, poopy face. And it was working.
Yeah.
They were humiliating them. And it worked.
You're right. That's a great example. Yeah, I agree. And I think so. This has been a long path to this point, but I think that same thinking at this point needs to apply to people that are assisting and supporting.
Oh, sure.
These policies. I don't even want to say this administration. It's not like every person who supports. Well, yeah, it kind of is. But whatever.
Is.
I mean, but the point is, like, you know, the people that are doing these things, it should become extremely taboo for them to be doing these things. You know, they need to be, you know, called out for what they are. You know, I saw the some protesters approach Mitch McConnell and his wife, and I had no problem with that at all. They weren't violent. They were just they were yelling, you know, they were right as they were coming out of a building or something like that. You know what? You have done things that have taken this country in an ungodly direction. You know, you have created precedents that are purely undemocratic. I mean, what he did with the Supreme Court seat that Obama should have been able to fill is just will go down in history as just a shocking mess of you know what the way democracy should work. And he shows no remorse. He shows no signs of anything. He doesn't recognize his own hypocrisy, and that he's now turning around and saying, "Oh yeah, we're going to fill that Senate seat or that Supreme Court seat." Of course. So. I think he should be uncomfortable. I think
absolutely.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
And another point on the notion of like what's the difference in pushback and you know doxing and trolling? And I think it comes down to who you are fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
If you are like so many of the like MRA people that I hear from and related and incel types, it's around preserving an ideal and preserving an old structure that no one fucking asked for but you.
Right.
And if it's about holding tight to something because you're scared of change, go fuck yourself. If it's about I'm standing for human beings to have just a decent life and a reasonable expectation of safety, that's different.
Yeah.
And I do think you have more leeway to do more radical actions to save human beings than you do to save your precious way of life when it is about money and power and privilege.
Yeah.
If it's about I'm here to fight for human beings and families to be together is very different than I'm here for traditional gender roles and I'm a straight white guy who's the fucking piece of shit, but I should be getting laid. Redistribution of sex. No.
Jesus.
Not you, incel. Not you.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that the argument, which is one I have been wary of, at least in the past, but am starting to completely abandon now, is that, well, no, if you are incivility is just going to fire up it's giving the Republicans what they want. It's going to fire up their base, blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of like, you know what?
Their base is pretty
I think we
up.
Lost those guys. I was like, I don't think we're going to,
I mean,
you know.
But it's also, it's the next step in a conversation that you and I have been having for a long time about the cringeworthy term dialogue.
Yeah.
Fuck dialogue. Dialogue's gotten nowhere. Dialogue has made a lot of Democrats say, I'm here for dialogue, and I'm going to reach across the aisle. And where the fuck did that get us? This. That got us this.
Yeah, right.
Is what? And so this civility to me is the next extension of the dialogue conversation.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that we all need to run around being an asshole and punching each other in the face. It's not the same thing. But you don't have to pretend to be courteous to someone who is a piece of shit is what it really boils down to.
Right.
You're trying to strip my rights away. You're trying to separate families. You're doing terrible shit. You're saying racist shit and xenophobic shit and sexist shit. I don't need to be sweet to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that's abhorrent what you're saying. I can do worse. I can kick you out of my restaurant. I can do whatever I want without it being about like, oh, you weren't nice to him though. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I do believe in the power of kindness. I do believe it takes a great deal of strength to be kind in the world that we are in now, but this is different. Kindness is a different thing than what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Kindness is not entering this conversation anywhere. The kindness police are calling
us
now.
Yes, great.
We will fix this phone situation by next week, allegedly.
Yeah,
but
not. But yeah,
it's a Los Angeles number that's calling.
Oh, really? Wow.
Maybe fame and fortune awaits us.
Somebody wants to option our. They want a screenplay. the Goof and Hupke story. A real dramedy for the ages. The feel-good dramedy of the fall. Coming soon.
Oh my gosh. It's like a buddy flick with politics.
Yes.
Zany, horrible, fascist politics. Wah, wah.
Nice.
Great.
But yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing that's just, I thought it was the restaurant and Sarah Sanders thing was like, okay, as I understand from, I mean, from the right, from like Fox News, Sarah Sanders was, you know, forcibly removed from the premises and stabbed with several knives. But in reality, they politely asked her to leave and said they did not, you know, and explained and off she went. Then in response, a guy who's a Trump supporter went up to the restaurant and threw poop at the restaurant and yelled, "Make America great again.
By throwing
poop. And he was arrested. But I hear the outrage against the restaurant for asking Sarah Sanders to leave. I don't hear anybody on the Fox News, et cetera, side condemning.
How dare that man be so uncivilized as to throw poo.
Right, condemning.
Like a chimpanzee throw, like, yeah. Right, like.
Condemning the poop hurler.
That's the thing. You go to the zoo and you go to the primate house and you're like, oh, they're throwing poop at each other. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No one's condemning the poop thrower.
And that's the thing. And so, I mean, and then there was another, I don't even remember this, but there was another story about some restaurant that wouldn't serve Biden at one point.
Right.
And then there's video of Paul Ryan at some rally and some guy, you know, saying how great that was that they wouldn't serve Biden. So it's like, come on, cut the bullshit. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is, the hypocrisy has reached like weaponized levels at this point. And I agree. I mean, I kind of at this point feel like, well, they don't think anybody's ever going to fight back. So I think it's time to fight back. I think it's time to make people feel uncomfortable. I think it's time to shame the living hell out of some people.
Yeah.
Because there are things that are going on here that are objectively shameful. And there are people who will say that no, that's not. You know, people who are fine with they're finding ways to defend separating families. Oh, Obama did it, and then blah blah blah. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's true to a degree. Although,
but we're dealing with the here and now.
Yeah, and the situation now is fundamentally different in the way it's being handled. But whatever. I mean, so they're going to find ways to defend it. They always find ways to defend it. The Trump supporters, there is nothing he can do, no matter how transparently heinous that
he
will be.
He could walk down the street with his little ween in his hand.
Yeah.
Saying filthy, threatening things, and they'd be like,
"Woo!"
He says it like it is.
Yeah, exactly. He's a man's man. I mean, he was right. There was nothing more correct that he ever said than that he could walk down Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and nobody would care. That was probably the only honest thing.
Well, not
he's
nobody,
ever said.
But his base certainly wouldn't. They'd be like, "Yeah, that person had it coming."
Totally. That may be the one factual statement he has made since he started running for president.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Well, after the Supreme Court upheld the travel ban. He tweeted, I think it just said, "Supreme Court upholds travel ban." Wow.
Yeah, wow. Like, what the?
Really? We know you know more words than that.
I don't know that, actually, but I.
He doesn't know how to spell them or punctuate them or capitalize them properly, but he knows them.
It's just embarrassing. You know, it's so embarrassing. You know, one quick thing. I don't know what to make of this exactly, but there was one interesting thing. On this trip that I just took, we traveled through 5 deep red states, Wyoming, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota.
Did you see lots of billboards with fetuses on them?
Iowa. I did see a good amount of that. Not fetuses, but baby, you know, abortion-related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa's not deep red, really, but it was red. It voted for Trump. The entire time, this was over a 12-day period, I saw 2 Make America Great Again hats, and I saw 1 Keep America Great hat, which is the new campaign slogan. Great.
I'm not paying attention to that crap.
So I saw 3 Trump hats, basically.
Okay.
It's not like I went to all the liberal hangouts in Montana. You know, we were at truck stops, we were at rest areas, we were at restaurants, diners. We're not like fancy eaters, so we were at like humble, you know, little eating places and grocery stores and general stores and yada yada. So all over the place. That's all I saw, and I found that really interesting. I expected a shitload more. And 1 sign the whole time. Then it was on the side of a building in Montana. It said, "Trump, brains and balls.
Oh my God.
Which was great because there was no colon, like Trump, colon, brains and balls. It was just Trump, brains and balls.
Like,
I was
you're
like,
selling
yeah,
them?
Yeah, right. I was like, well, that's, you must have a very short supply of those.
Diesel, yes. Trump brains, Trump balls, yeah. Popsicles and cigarettes.
Come
next
and
right.
get them. Come get them. But no, I mean, so it's interesting to me. And so I bring that up because of the idea of sort of shaming people. And I do wonder how much people who even do maybe quietly support him hesitate to wear the hat or, you know, actually express that. And if that's the case, good. And I hope we have more of that, because I think people should be ashamed of themselves if they're supporting what's currently happening. Regardless of, again, that goes beyond policy, like mm-hmm. like ideological, straight, you know, strict, yeah, like conservative, sure. liberal ideas. I mean, you should be ashamed of it, period. I mean, if you're a conservative, you should be deeply ashamed, because he is not a conservative any more than I am. I mean, he's, you know, he's doing things that conservatives want, but he's a shyster and he's making money. Like,
he's
right,
a fascist
right.
piece of shit.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
So anyway, grr.
Yeah. That.
Deep.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you what you, I mean, I always think it's interesting to travel mm-hmm. to and just kind of see the different kind of political vibe and different places that you go to.
I'm going to be doing a series of columns actually on that trip, because I had a lot of interesting, or at least what I thought were interesting or funny observations along the way and stuff. But one key one that I'll just mention, though, is to hell with this idea of getting outside your bubble. I was in pretty much all of those states, I barely saw a person of color mm-hmm. or anybody in any way different from me. I mean, I was walking among my people.
Sure.
On the plains
the
of,
white guy party.
Of Montana. Yeah, no, I really was. I mean, it was striking. And mm-hmm. the whole family, we were all kind of like, the hell? I mean, mm-hmm. every restaurant we were in, it's all white. Every, you know, it was just amazing. And so it just made me realize what a massive sham they pulled off in promoting that. Well, you need to step outside your bubble thing. Because today I ride in on the train surrounded by, you know, African-American people and Muslim people and, you know, probably a Jewish person or two, and probably a gay person or a lesbian person. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's a ridiculous statement.
You had it right the first time. Homogeny.
Homogeny. That is. Is it or homogeny?
Homogenized.
Homogeny.
I just want to make you say it a bunch
homina,
now.
Homina.
But well, yeah. And here's the thing that never takes into account, right? Like people that. Like I had someone say that to me about Chicago, of get out of your, you know, liberal bubble. First of all, don't say liberal at me, please. And second of all, like recognize, like the person who said it to me was in a fairly rural area, lived in a fairly rural area, and where all of the white people live. Mm-hmm. Like there is a Catholic church 20 miles away from that place, and that was like a big scandal when that was built, right?
The Catholics.
The Catholics, yeah. Right? So let's talk about bubble. Also recognize that could pose a safety issue, right?
Sure.
Like, say that I go to some place where there's like a very, maybe like where, I don't know, where there's some, like, you know, like, Aryan Brotherhood shit going on. And I'm like, Amy Guth, Jew, getting out of my liberal bubble in Chicago. Like, if I were to do that, that's going to fuck me up. That's not going to end well for me.
Especially if you do the meh part.
Well, that's my new thing where I mock all of my enemies. I'm going to do that.
No, you're right. I totally agree. And that's what we talked a lot about that on that trip. I'm like, this is great. We're having a great time. This is lovely. If we're black, this is a very different experience.
Yeah.
You know, or if we're Muslim, it's a really different experience.
Sure.
And, you know, whatever, name your thing. I mean, it was really striking.
I was paying for fuel at a gas station outside of Indianapolis one time. Mm-hmm. And some dude walked up to me as I'm walking back to the car, and he was like, hey. And I just kind of kept walking because I don't have anything to say to that man. And he was like, what kind of lady are you? And I thought he was trying to say something about my manners. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, who are you not to speak to me? Right. And I still did not speak to him. And then he said something like, what are you? What are you? You American? And I was like, all right, this is about to get weird. I'm going to go. I'm going to go.
This done got weird, I think.
Yeah, this done got weird, and I'm going to go. So I just kind of gave him a look and got in the car. But I was like, get your little Budweiser tank top flip-flop ass away from me. You don't need to know anything about me, mm-hmm. my ancestral makeup, how I identify. You don't need to know shit about me.
Yeah,
I do not owe you words. I do not need to speak to you. I owe you nothing. I'm going to walk back to my car. And if someone wants to say that's I wasn't being polite and I was being uncivilized by not going, oh, hello, sir. Well, I'm Jewish and I'm this. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
We do not owe anyone anything. We do not owe beauty or politeness in the face of shittiness. We don't owe anybody fucking anything. And I'm so, especially that's on women, that like, be sweet about it.
Sure, yeah.
No. Why do I need to be sweet about it? All y'all are being assholes. Why should I be sweet?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that narrative is pushed on us so hard. Done. I look forward to the menstrual blood in the streets, personally. It's going to be great.
I'll be interested to see it, I got to be honest.
It's going
to
look cool.
Yeah, it's going to look pretty cool.
Like, the goth kids are going to love this.
Right, exactly.
Love this. As a former goth kid, I'm here to tell you, love this.
Let the revolution begin.
Oh, it's been going, but it's recently kicked up a notch, I believe.
I really wanted to be the one to say let the revolution, and then it happened. So you kind of just
told me. Oh, my bad. You wanted to like.
I wanted to be like, let the revolution, and Hupke said let the revolution begin. And then.
And it happened?
Yeah. Thanks.
Because you know what we need?
Yeah.
A white man to tell us the revolution
yeah, that's
has
a great
started.
Point, actually.
That's what we need. Like
good
that,
job.
Like
that's good job sticking it to the patriarchy there.
Good job, Rex. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Like that. That episode of 30 Rock where they were like, we go to this reporter,
yeah.
And it was a woman. They're like, we're looking for a reporter. Where is he? Well, I'm the reporter. And it keeps going like, can you find a policeman or your father? We're looking for a missing report. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. It's that. Please find the nearest man to tell us the
yes,
revolution has begun.
And I can't believe a woman told me it already has. That's not cool.
We're keepers of the menstrual blood, Chief. I don't know what to tell you. So, no. All right. Well, this has been another riveting episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We're going to work on the phone situation so that whoever it is from that California area code doesn't call us next week. And we'll see you then. In the meantime, don't worry about being sweet to each other on Twitter. Just fight for what you believe in.